The best advice anyone ever gave me was two words. You can't. And you know what my response was? Two words. Watch me.
Welcome back to episode 3 for Team Crossin', Believin' is Achievin'. And today I think we have a really, really good topic that'll be helpful for everyone. I know it's something we think a lot about. What are we discussing today, Danielle?
So we've already kind of discussed finding our why and, you know, getting into you and your routine and what works for you. So now we're kind of going into choosing what gym is best for you.
And we're going to look at some of the key factors you may want to consider. And you want to remember that when you're selecting a gym that works best for you, you want to think about your needs as well as something that's going to inspire you to go routinely. You know, you don't want to pick a gym that doesn't motivate you or make you feel comfortable. So let's talk about some of the key factors you want to consider when selecting a gym.
All right. So, I mean, first you want to look at, you know, location and accessibility, because if it's not convenient for you, then, you know, you're not going to go as much as it would be if it's convenient and local and something that you can access with your schedule.
And a lot of times, you know, you'll hear people say, well, you know, I want to pick something close to home. And that's important for some people. But what you want to really do is think about your schedule and think about where you work, your commute, the various things that might go into play. And sometimes you may realize it may be more beneficial for you to consider a gym closer to where you work, especially if you're getting out at that rush hour time and you know it's going to take you an hour or more to get home. That could be a situation where you might want to pick a gym closer to where you work so that you'll go work out right after work, let the traffic die down, and you actually wind up saving time that way sometimes too. So that's a consideration.
And that kind of leads into our next point of hours of operation. You know, depending on your job schedule, you want to find a gym that's open and available at the time you're able to go. If you're looking for, you know, something and you are in shift work, you may want to find a 24-hour gym that's open all the time so you can go no matter where your schedule falls.
And what we'll do is we'll go through some of these key factors you might want to consider right up front when you select your gym, and then we'll talk about the pros and cons of the different types of gyms. So to Danielle's point, the hours are really important. Does it give you enough time to go maybe before work? Does it leave you enough time if you're the kind of person who prefers to come home, have dinner, and then go to the gym in the evening? You just want to make sure that you're leaving yourself ample time, and it eliminates the excuse, you know, one more excuse of not being able to get there.
Absolutely. Which leads into the next point, which would be budget. So everybody's budget looks different. Some people want to spring for that gym that has all of the amenities and might cost a little bit more, or some people are looking for a basic gym with some weights that they can get their workout in and maybe their cardio too, and that could be a little bit more cost effective if you just need a few of those items to work out.
Right, and the budget's going to vary, like Danielle was leading to, depending on what amenities you need. If you're looking for classes, personal training, particular you know, equipment that you might be looking for, that's going to all depend on which gym you pick or what membership level you pick within that specific gym. So you want to look for one that fits your budget comfortably, because again, you're just trying to eliminate those excuses too, whether it be time or finances, just finding a way to make it work. You know, we want to talk about facilities and equipment when you're looking at a gym. You want to check to make sure the gym has all the equipment you need. You know, what are your goals? Is it something that you need free weights? Do you need machines? Is it strictly cardio? Any, you know, particular specialized gear, whether it be kettlebells, resistance bands, things like that. Very critical to choose something that works with your fitness program. And you want to make sure it's well maintained and clean, right? That's important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially if you're going to be using the locker rooms and the showers and, you know, different things like that. If you're heading into work or coming home from work and you want to shower up before getting home, you want to make sure that it's somewhere that you feel comfortable showering, getting ready. And even some of these gyms have, I know at least for the females, I can't speak for the males, but hair dryers and different things within there that are helpful when you're going to and from work. And you just want to make sure it's something that you go there and you feel comfortable in the environment. You know, whether they have towels, things like that you need, that's all something to look out when you're picking your gym.
That's it. I mean, hygiene is crucial in a gym. Everybody wants cleanliness. That's very important. But you want to also look a little bit about the maintenance and the size too. A lot of times you'll see a gym may have, you know, a couple of beautiful showers, the facility looks really nice, but when you get in there at a rush hour, whether it's, you know, before work or after work at its busiest, and you don't have an opportunity to get in those showers, or if one shower is broken and there's only one open, it makes it even tougher. So you want to also look at the maintenance of the environment too. Are things constantly broken? Are they repaired quickly when they are? So cleanliness and maintenance kind of go hand in hand in that aspect.
And it kind of also leads into the topic of like the atmosphere of the gym. You know, is it welcoming and friendly? Are the staff members open to helping and, you know, friendly and talking to you and trying to make sure that you're comfortable? You know, that's always important, especially if you are new to the gym atmosphere, you know, having those people to come up and help you get acclimated to not only the facility, but the equipment within the facility.
And the atmosphere has to fit you too, because everybody's different. You know, you'll find some people are very extroverted, some people are very introverted, and the membership you're going to be around is going to make you feel either comfortable or uncomfortable. You know, if you pick a time in a gym that's very socially motivated and you're not a social person, you might find it uncomfortable, and vice versa. There are some gyms that people are very focused, maybe more bodybuilding type gyms where they're there to get their workout in and move on to the next phase. And there's not as much socialization. So these are all things you need to consider when you're looking at the atmosphere. What makes you comfortable?
And what they have to offer, such as classes and different programs. If you're, you know, looking for something a little more structured, you're not really sure where to start, some of these classes are a great way to do that. They have a structure, you know, whether it be a Zumba or a HIIT class or yoga or spin. If you want something where you're being told what to do, not all gyms have classes or the specific class you may be looking for. So asking for a class schedule and seeing what they have at each gym as you check them out.
And you might not think in the beginning that something that's important to you. I know from a bodybuilding perspective, I never really did, but after having talks with my trainer over the years from time to time, you know, there was recommendations maybe to take the cardio to the next level and occasionally throw in a HIIT class or something for some high intensity training. Maybe something down the road that becomes important that you don't realize in the beginning. So just something to think about as your goals change, as your targets change.
And then, you know, if you're interested in a personal trainer, not all gyms have them readily available. A lot of gyms, like the chain gyms, they tend to have trainers available and they do like a free consultation. So if you're interested in something like that or not sure how you feel about a personal trainer, finding a gym that gives that consultation so you're able to see what that's about and what those trainers might be able to recommend for you is also a great option.
Right, and same thing about, we go back to hours too. What are the hours? You know, are trainers willing to do the early mornings if you want someone in person? Do they do training remotely? You know, some can do them through an app and videos, and there's just such a variety. So you want to get an understanding of what's available so that you don't just see, hey, we have personal trainers, you sign up, and then you find out the trainers don't do 5 a.m. or what you need.
And you also want to find out what they specialize in. You know, if you're looking for weight loss, but they specialize in bodybuilding, that's not really going to be a match for you. You know, if you're looking for strength training or if you're looking for some type of sports rehabilitation, if they don't offer that, that might not be the gym for you, or you might have to look elsewhere for a trainer if you like that gym.
Right. And you want to verify a lot of this. You want to consider the credentials. You know, is the trainer certified? What are their certifications in? You don't want to spend money to go down a road and find out you're halfway down the wrong road and you have to start over. So just something to keep in mind when you're looking for the gym.
Yeah, and I mean, something, you know, that's really great that we have now are reviews. You know, you have to be careful with them because not everybody is honest. Not everybody has the best experience. You know, a lot of times you look at reviews and you see all the bad things and one or two good things. People tend to write bad reviews over good reviews. So that's something you want to look at. But, you know, you might want to stop in and see what the community in the gym is like, as opposed to reading just reviews. But they are a good tool if it's something you're looking for.
I agree. But I'm always very careful with reviews because you find sometimes that the review is based on one person's experience and you don't know both sides of the story oftentimes. So, you know, a person may give a review of a trainer, they didn't have the success they were looking for, but maybe they weren't asking the right questions of the trainer. Maybe there were some miscommunications, but because they didn't see what they were looking for, they go out and give that negative review. I'm not saying that's every case, but I have seen those types of things happen. There's an old saying, you know, if you have a bad experience, you're likely to tell 20 people. If you have a good experience, you're likely to tell 5. So bad news spreads, you know, faster than good news. But again, you know, it's something to consider and then make your own evaluation. Go into the gym, which we're going to lead into next, is, you know, ask about trial memberships. A lot of gyms will give you, you know, a day pass, a 3-day pass, a 5-day pass, 7-day pass. There's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, and I mean, some of them, you know, are free. Some of them you do have to pay for. It depends on the gym. But sometimes it's worth that, you know, $10, $15 for a trial pass just to see if that gym fits you. And, you know, sometimes if they give multiple days, try going different times of the day. You might want to go to the gym just to see who the people are, you know, what the atmosphere is like, find their busy times. And that's also things you can ask when you go in to ask for a trial membership. You know, what is your busiest time in the gym? Do you know? And kind of gauge if that's something that would work for you.
Yeah, that's something I strongly encourage too. I've made the mistake of doing trial passes and they limit you sometimes in the hours that you can try it. And then I wound up joining or getting a membership, and then the hours that I needed, it was either just chaotic where you couldn't get on any equipment, you were constantly waiting. It was a struggle, so it didn't always work out for me. But if you can get that trial membership, ask about the different hours or ask if you can at least do the time of day at the very least that you think you would be going to the gym so you can assess if it's going to work fluently for you. Now what we want to do is we want to kind of take a look at the different types of gyms that are available to us and go over maybe some of the pros and cons of each to give you an understanding. I think we've tried all of these type gyms.
I was going to say, I think going through the list and preparing for this episode, we've hit every single type of gym that we're going to talk about and have experience with them and are able to give, you know, at least our side of what our thoughts are on them. But again, to each their own. What didn't work for us may work perfectly fine for someone else.
And coming from a background where we owned a family gym for a few years, we have the experience of what family gyms are about, and we recognize just from our experience the positives. And we'll also talk about the negatives we recognize as well of owning a small family gym versus some of the other options. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to start out with the 24-hour gyms, because you see a lot of that stuff advertised. It seems to becoming a more popular format for gyms. A lot of the gyms that I knew in my area that were not 24 hours are suddenly becoming 24 hours, and some of the corporate-owned gyms are starting to go 24 hours as well.
Yeah, and I mean, there are a lot of advantages to a 24-hour gym, such as the flexibility. I mean, I think that's the biggest advantage. If you're working shift work, if you're working weird hours, if you're more of a night person, you know, most gyms close around 10 or 11, I think, is like the latest that I've seen.
9, 10, 11.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. So if you're one of those people that wants to go home, have dinner, maybe get the kids to bed or something like that, you know, you're not getting to the gym till 8 o'clock. And if your workout's going to run a little longer, that 24 hours gives you a lot of flexibility.
And you also find without the 24-hour gym, a lot of other gyms close a little earlier on the weekends, which can be a struggle if you work on weekends as well.
And holidays. If you're looking to get that workout in on a holiday,
absolutely,
the gyms will be closed and or have very limited hours, which aren't always convenient. I know, like, for example, Christmas is usually completely closed or a very limited window of hours, because those people want to be with their families too. So if that's something that you're looking for and having that flexibility, the 24-hour never closes.
Right. That is the upside, because not everybody celebrates the same holidays or has the same lifestyle. So, you know, that is definitely a big benefit. Again, that convenience, no matter what time of day, it's ideal for people that like it quiet. You know, if you want to have the gym to yourself or more subdued, you can go at the real off hours. You know, I've gone myself in the middle of the night. Sometimes you can't sleep, or, you know, you're going away on vacation or something, and your last workout, you want to get it in early before you leave. I've done the 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning workout, and it can be pretty cool sometimes because you can do everything, but sometimes it is a little unnerving when you're the only person in the gym and you might not be quite as motivated, but you know, it gives you that opportunity.
And it's good for, you know, depending on what type of workout you like to do. If you're a person that likes to do like a circuit type workout, you can set up your different stations and not have a big crowd, because when you're going during the evening rush,
right, yep,
there are half the time you're waiting for the machine sometimes, depending on the gym you're at. So if you have, you know, specific workouts, you have to do them in a specific order, that might be a benefit to a 24-hour gym of having the flexibility to miss the morning and evening rush.
And I think another thing to think about too is some people like a little bit of a privacy. you know, they're a little more self-conscious about what they're doing or themselves or where they're at in their program, and that's okay. Everybody's got their own level of comfort. But going at that off hours allows you a little bit more private workout and takes maybe some of the pressure off of the socialization or, you know, people being around while you're, you know, doing your particular exercises. So again, just another benefit.
Yeah, I think we've hit all of our pros. Do you want to get into the cons of a 24-hour gym?
Yeah, I mean, we've experienced some of these as well. You know, one of the big ones is the staffing limitations. We've experienced that even looking at 24-hour gyms. Many of them have limited staff after certain hours. So if you need help with the equipment or you have questions about the gym, a lot of times in the beginning, it's emails back and forth or sign up online because we don't have staffing in the office except from, you know, 2 to 6 in the evening or something. And it may not be convenient to get started, but there's definitely access to the information. It's just not as quick or straightforward as you might like.
Right. And another thing too is security concerns. And I, from personal experience, can speak on the idea of injury in the gym, especially because I've been there. Luckily, I was at a gym where my dad was present there and was able to help me. But if you fall, you get hurt, you know, maybe you can't get up. They do have emergency buttons in some of these gyms. But if you can't reach them and your phone's out of reach, that's a, you know, safety and security concern, because then you're stuck there hoping somebody shows up in that gym to help you.
Right. And, you know, sometimes people just feel uncomfortable or a little unnerved being the only person in a place. And then, you know, it's happened to me. I'll admit I've been startled a couple times in the early morning or late night hours when you go in there, you're the only one. You're in the middle of your workout. Let's say you're bench pressing. You're not looking around. Somebody comes in, goes into the locker room, and next thing you know, you're doing an exercise and someone's walking up behind you, or you see them in the mirror. It can startle you for a minute just because you're just not used to that situation.
Especially if you have headphones in and you don't even hear them come in.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened to me many times myself, you know, being there at a late hour, early hour, sometimes even middle of the day when it's just quiet in there.
And we're not saying it's a bad thing. We're just saying it's something you have to think about, because we both experienced it where it does startle you a little bit when someone comes in and you're not expecting it. But one of the other things I've heard people say is the negative sides is less motivation. If you're someone who really thrives on that gym community, likes the social interaction or the group atmosphere, you know, being there at off hours alone sometimes is, you know, just not your thing, or it's not keeping you motivated. You know, you may want to either go during busier hours or consider, you know, a different type gym where people are definitely going to be there. It's not the off hours.
And maintenance issues, you know, with a 24-hour gym, if you're someone that's there in the middle of the night and a machine is already broken, or, you know, you notice something is broken, if a note isn't left for, you know, the staff when they come in or some type of notification, they won't know it's broken until somebody points it out, and then it's going to take time to fix. So there may be some issues with, you know, machines or equipment that just won't be in commission for a while.
And that's one of the issues I'll just point out that I've seen on the social media side of the 24-hour gyms, in my personal experience, is a lot of times you'll hear about, oh, these are, you know, great, here's all the benefits of our gym. And then when a piece of equipment breaks or people are leaving weights, you know, not re-racking their weights and leaving things out of place, all of a sudden you'll see videos from either the ownership or the management, you know, saying, hey, you know, this needs to stop. We know who's doing it. If you continue to do this, we're going to revoke your membership. Well, for me, my philosophy is don't lecture me about what somebody else is doing. If you have cameras and you have video and you know who's doing it, deal directly with them. And if they're not correcting it, then get rid of them. But that's some of the problems I've seen, because they'll talk about equipment being broken in the middle of the night and they're not aware of it. Well, if there's no one there to notify, what are you supposed to do? It's not like they're leaving your pad and paper saying, hey, if something breaks, leave us a note.
Right. And, you know, also into our cleanliness factor, if there's, you know, no staff for the overnight hours and you're coming in the middle of the night and people have been using the showers or using the gym, you know, the equipment and the facilities may not be as clean as they would be during staffed hours.
Yeah, I've seen that too. You know, people leave stuff outside the trash can, or you go and there's the paper towels are gone, you know, a variety of things. So just something to consider. Again, may not impact your decision, but it's things that do happen and stuff we have experienced. One of the other things I've heard from, you know, trainers and other people that use 24-hour gyms is that sometimes you can tend to overuse them. You know, the availability, the flexibility of the schedule, the opportunity to get there more, you're not giving yourself enough downtime or rest because you feel like, well, I can get to the gym, I should go.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, you know that there's access. You're not stressing about, oh, I got to get there today because it closes and then I have to wait till tomorrow. It's readily available. So you'll find yourself, oh, well, I got nothing to do. Maybe I'll go do some more cardio. And next thing you know, you've done 3-4 hours of cardio in one day.
Right. Diminishing returns.
It's happened to me.
Yeah. Just again, another consideration. We're not saying that it should, you know, be the be all end all of your decisions, but just to give you an understanding of what can happen. And a lot of times people don't realize with the 24-hour gyms, there's usually not classes, especially after hours.
Yeah. So if classes are something that's, you know, a must have on your gym list, you know, a 24-hour may not be for you if you plan on going during those off hours, or, you know, figuring out what that class schedule is. If you can get to a class when it's open and available and you want to go back later in the night to do other workouts or alternate, you know, that way. But the classes usually do run from like the early morning hours to, you know, the evening, depending on the gym. Sometimes they're sprinkled in throughout the day. So definitely making sure that you get a class schedule if that's something you're interested in.
So basically the bottom line we look at with this is for flexibility and convenience and access, 24-hour gyms are unparalleled. I mean, it's just, that's it, 24/7, they're available. But if you're someone who values community, expert help, more organized classes, you need some structure, you know, the traditional gym is probably your better fit. So just something to consider.
Yeah, so now we're going to switch gears into something I think we are the most well-versed in these topics, which is the family-owned gym.
Yep.
Having owned a family gym for, what about, almost?
Yeah, a couple of years.
2-3 years?
Yeah.
We've heard a lot, seen a lot, got a lot of feedback. So encompassing all of that, we came up with some pros and cons to family-owned gyms.
Yeah, sure. One of the unique things is you get a good personal experience compared to the larger chain gyms. Everybody knows everybody. You know, we would be at the front desk, and over a period of time, you start to know everybody by name. You start to know their families. We started to see their high school and college age kids coming in during breaks and different times. So it really was a sense of community and family, and it was like an extended, really an extended version of like high school and a community group.
Yeah, I mean, for me, at least at our family-owned gym, I ran into many people I went to high school with, kids I played sports with, their families, you know, then they'd bring in their friends and you'd get to meet more people. So every time I went in there, I knew at least one or two people in there from school or other activities within the community.
And what happens is that those personal relationships help you build personalized service. So a lot of times having those close relationships with the staff, it's a little more, they're more attentive, willing to work with you for individual needs or offering customized training or guidance. A lot of times people would come up to us and talk to us about possible classes they thought would be beneficial, different pieces of equipment they thought would be helpful to their program or other people's programs. And it was good to get that feedback. And most times we would try to accommodate that where we could. I know we added equipment, we added classes, we added instructors. We would pretty much try out anything because you have that personal relationship with your clients and you want that feedback.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we came up with a lot of different classes that were, you know, beneficial to a lot of the clients. It was things that most, you know, chain gyms or these bigger gyms didn't have or didn't offer. We had a lot more flexibility to come up with some new things and see, you know, what people liked and didn't, and take that feedback as it came.
Yeah, it wasn't structured like the corporate gyms tend to be, so we had a lot of opportunity to be creative. We would do a lot of holiday event type programs and workouts, fundraisers, charity type stuff with the community, and it was a good feeling. You had that close-knit feeling with the community that was in your gym.
You know, and I think something cool, we're talking about, you know, the flexibility and training programs, something cool that we did that actually just popped into my mind was we offered, I believe it was on Monday nights, not that that really matters, but we offered a muscle school where we had Rich,
great, yep.
You know, with almost every certification in the book, it seems, was able to come in and teach everyone about different training styles or different machines, different workouts, and, you know, form. That was, I think, the biggest thing, was talking about proper form in the gym and how to really get the most out of your workout.
Yeah, I didn't really recognize the value of that. in the beginning, as much as I saw how valuable it was in the end. Because again, so many people don't know how the muscle groups work, and you hear, you know, these stories about in weightlifting or bodybuilding, push days, pull days, all these different numbers of sets and different things. And you know, Rich Fitter would really break down for you how the body worked, how important the recovery was, how sometimes you didn't even recognize you were overworking a particular muscle, because a lot of people don't correlate the fact that when you're training your back, you're actually training your biceps in there. And then they would do a full back program coupled with a full bicep program, and they would be overworking the muscle without recognizing that, and then they would wonder why they weren't getting the results they were looking for. So this became a popular program, and Rich would just go around the gym, set up group sessions, and explain the, you know, physiology behind it. He would explain the equipment, he would demonstrate different exercises, and it really that really took off.
Yeah. And then, you know, the whole idea of long-term relationships and consistency, you know, you start seeing the same people at the same time, you make friends with them. Next thing you know, you're coordinating, coming in for a workout. You guys do your workouts, you know, together, or, you know, you're talking to each other throughout your workouts. So there's that motivation of, oh, my gym buddy's going to be there today, I got to get there. And then you, you know, build that relationship. And a lot of those lasted, you know, I would see it in the gym, different members becoming friends or, you know, coming in at the same time.
Yeah. Still years later, we keep in touch with a lot of them. And, you know, people talk about and remember the experience, you know, their timing, you know, coming to the gym when it was a family-owned gym there. So very positive experience in most cases. And, you know, they have distinct character, unique atmosphere, a lot of personal touches. Ours did as well, you know, being a law enforcement family with our backgrounds in law enforcement, we incorporated a lot of that into the decor in the gym, the coloring in the gym, some of the programs we ran, like the fitness for duty police testing program that we ran in the gym. That really adds that personal touch, and it hit home with a lot of first responders.
And even the college wall, we had a wall where we would put up the college like flags for all of the members, you know, to bring in. So if they brought a flag in, it'd go up. And you just get to see where everybody kind of came from, their schools, and then that would, you know, strike conversation. Who here went to this school? And then everybody would start talking, and it really felt like you were at home when you were there, which is something that you don't always get at these bigger gyms. So if that's something you're looking for in a sense of family and community, a family-owned gym is one of the best ways to go for that.
Yeah, you were far more than a member. I mean, we would get to know the ins and outs of everyone that came in, and they knew the same about our family. But again, like anything else, you know, that was our background, but, you know, it's not all positives. There's some, you know, cons to family-owned gyms if you're looking for memberships, and we'll be open and honest about that. A lot of times family-owned gyms may not have the same resources as, you know, a lot of the bigger name chain gyms, just don't have that financial backing. So you try to do the best with what you have to accommodate everybody, but it goes slower in most cases.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a gym that has, you know, saunas, pools, tanning beds, things like that, a lot of times a family-owned gym won't have that. They just don't have the, you know, resources to have that and provide that, or even the space to do so. That's more of a larger gym that would have all of those extra amenities.
And a lot of times family gyms are fewer locations. They may be one or two locations versus the chain gyms that you see in, you know, every other town as you're going down the highway. But that, you know, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means it's limited in what they can offer you in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and I mean, that leads into the hours of operation. They're probably going to be a little more limited than a, you know, larger gym or a 24-hour. You know, most cases when you have a family-owned gym, there's a lot less staff. I know there was a time for us, at least, it was just me, you, and mom. So it was trying to figure out how we could keep the gym going for the hours that we had with the people we had. But, you know, again, weekends, there may be shorter hours, or holidays, there may be, you know, less hours of operation. So that's something you have to think about, too, when looking at a family-owned gym.
Right. And, you know, that's it. Family businesses, a lot of people recognize the family values and want to be home on the holidays. And certain holidays, we would give the staff off, you know, as our staff grew, so they could be with their families. But that doesn't work for everybody. One of the other things is less technology integration. A lot of times family-owned gyms do not have technology that the larger gyms have, like the apps for booking your classes or tracking your workouts or automated check-ins, things like that. You don't often see that in the family-owned gyms.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And, you know, limited class variety, depending on the gym, they may not offer some of the group fitness classes that people are looking for, like the spin, the yoga, CrossFit type workouts.
And sometimes we hear, you know, negative feedback for not having those type of apps and the ability to check into classes ahead. People would show up at the gym, you know, at the rush hour type classes at 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night for a spin class, and it might be full and they lost the opportunity to sign up. So we can definitely see where that can impact your workout.
And something else too, childcare. Some family owned gyms don't have the means to run a childcare program,
right?
Or, you know, they just weighing the pros and cons of a childcare program, they found that it might not be beneficial for their facility. So if you're someone that's interested in childcare when going to the gym, that's something also to figure out if the gym has childcare, as a lot of family-owned gyms may not.
Yeah, and that was something we started with, we offered, and then we did a cost analysis on how many people were actually using it versus what it was costing the gym to operate it efficiently and within the laws, and it turned out that we weren't even close to breaking even on it, so it was something we had to ultimately decide to get rid of, and it impacted us in some ways, but not as bad as we would think because it had such a limited use, so it only affected really a few members. But again, if it's important to you, that's something you want to look at, the availability. Same thing, you know, support staff, family gyms, you tend to have some personnel, but maybe not as many as the corporate gyms. You know, a lot of times you go into a family gym and the same person that's working the desk is refilling the paper towels in the men's and ladies room, is cleaning the group fitness floor before and after the class, registering new clients, checking people, you know, in and out, right?
Yeah, and I mean, that leads to the potential for overcrowding with the understaffing. You know, there were times that there was a line at the front desk because somebody forgot their key tag to the point of, you know, checking in
right
on an app. You know, they're waiting to be checked in because they want their credit for being there. But, you know, somebody's complaining about the paper towels being empty and, you know, you're running all over and there's, you know, people trying to get on machines. It's a little overcrowded at peak hours. You know, these are all things that can happen at a family-owned gym as well.
But again, for family-owned gyms, the bottom line is you tend to get more personal community-based experience with flexible service, but it comes with fewer amenities and conveniences than the larger chain gyms. So it's a great fit for those who want a supportive environment, but it might not be as ideal for those who want a wide range of equipment, classes, or 24-hour access. So just that's our thoughts and experiences on the family-owned gyms. So now we want to look a little bit about the franchise gyms,
which I could say we're currently working out at now. That's
right,
where we, you know, do all of our lifting at this point. And one of the best pros that I think we've found so far, in my opinion at least, is they're everywhere. So if you have the membership that allows you to go to different locations, you don't need to worry about vacations or business
right
trips or things like that. You know, where am I going to work out? Oh my God, I'm going to be gone for a week. I need to have a gym. You know, if you belong to one of these gyms, you can just check in at the gym in that area. And for the most part, they're set up pretty similarly, have the same equipment. And so you're kind of not worried about transitioning from gym to gym, and you can just go in and work out.
Right. You're not floundering around looking for the equipment. We've had that experience on vacation where we've used the chain gyms and we've tried the local gyms. And not that there was anything wrong with the local gyms, but from our experience, you spent more time trying to find the equipment you needed because you were unfamiliar with it. So that is a plus for us to be able to use the same setup wherever we go.
Yeah, and you know that when you're going there, the workout plan you're currently on, they're going to have the equipment or at least something pretty similar where you could work out and not worry about trying to implement a substitution to that exercise.
And again, the corporate gyms are usually corporate run in the sense that they have the same policies and procedures and standards in place. That, you know, facilities have to look and be equipped similarly. So it's usually very well equipped. They cater to a broad range of fitness needs, a lot of group fitness classes, because they have the resources to run these things, you know, the backing.
And these corporate gyms also have some of the amenities that, you know, a 24-hour gym or a family-owned gym may not have. You know, they'll have the saunas or the tanning beds, and additional things that like that are beneficial to you if you're looking for something like that.
And again, everybody's needs are different. Some people do like to have that downtime after their workout, so they'll go in and hit the sauna or, you know, hit the massage bed or the tanning bed and get it all done while they're there, and then, you know, go home and deal with life or go to work from there and deal with their day. Also, the larger community gyms provide more network opportunities. If that's something you're looking for, it provides a sense of camaraderie. There's just more people, more ways to interact. You know, we have our times when we've got to be really focused and we get in there early in the morning and just get through it. But there's other days that there's a lot of people in our gym. I wouldn't say for us, most times it's not overcrowded when we go, but they're social. So you do have those people that are willing to socialize. So it's kind of the middle of the road environment there, I would call it.
Yeah, I mean, I think people tend to realize what you're there for, at least in my experience. You know, if my headphones aren't in, they'll be saying good morning or how are you? I'm a 5 a.m. or so. When I go in, it's bright and early. Everybody's like, good morning, how are you? You know, and they'll talk to you, or they've seen me training and they'll say, oh, I see you're training. Are you training for something? You're always in here. You know, I don't see you missing a day. And then they'll talk to you. But if they see your headphones are in and your head's kind of down, you know, they kind of let you do
get
your
the
own
wave
thing.
And yeah, yep. The nod or the wave. And again, you know, we talk about the motivating factor, depending on what everyone's needs are. And, you know, if you like to be socialized and all, but we've had people come up to us once they've heard that we're father and daughter and we do competitive bodybuilding. And they'll say to us, you know, ask us questions about it. They'll say, that's so cool. That, you know, kind of motivates me. And, you know, we'll see other parents with their children working out there and, you know, they'll ask us questions about it. So it's nice to be able to share those stories and have that time to just interact with other people. And then, like Danielle said, there's times we just, you know, kind of do the wave and nod and, you know, move on.
And it's nice too, because sometimes you do get that new gym member or someone who might have been looking at a machine that you're working on and they didn't really know how to use it. And I've had people come up and ask, you know, well, what is that exercise called? Or how do you use this? I'm not really sure. Or just, you know, like that sense of community where they're struggling with a machine and maybe you go up and say, hey, you know, the lever is on the other side and that'll help you move the seat. You know, even those little interactions. But also going back to the fitness classes, if that's something you're interested in, that's where that technology comes in that the family-owned gyms sometimes tend to lack, is you can go on during your workday and check the nighttime, you know, right, schedule and see, okay, there's a 5 o'clock Zumba class. I'm going to sign up for that now so I don't miss my spot. And while I'm in here, you know what? I'm going to sign up for the childcare. And you can do all of that ahead of time.
Lock it in.
So you're not getting there and then kind of floundering for what you're going to do because the class is full.
And some of the corporate gyms in that same type of app will also have like a head counter that'll show you how busy the gym is at the time you're looking to go. So if you're leaving work and you're thinking, oh, I should be home in 45 minutes, I'll change and run down to the gym. Well, you can kind of monitor almost real time how active the gym is. And if it looks like it's kind of crazy for what you need to accomplish that day, you can adjust your schedule around it before you get there. Because sometimes that can be frustrating when you walk in and it's packed.
And something else with the app, just thinking about our gym, some of them have like rewards points and programs where if you scan in so many times, you get so many points, and then you can use some of the amenities. You can get a, you know, protein shake from the shake bar or
t-shirt.
A t-shirt or, you know, a shaker cup, things like that. So that's also to that motivating factor of, okay, I'm at 20 visits. At 25, I can get a protein shake, and that's how I'm going to reward myself for my workout on Friday.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because you get credit once a day for those types of things when you check in. And it just made me think about the many times we would go in the morning and do cardio and then come back in the afternoon. And they would recognize that we were there twice in a day. So the system would say, hey, you checked in already, almost thinking that, you know, you're trying to cheat them out of extra points for that.
But yeah,
we used to laugh a little bit when that would happen.
Absolutely.
And then when it comes to the professional management and support side, corporate gyms often have more professional staff available, customer service departments, you know, that address just specific things or specific areas to ensure any issues that are encountered are resolved quickly. Again, when we had our gym and it was a family-owned gym, sometimes things would get delayed a couple days before we could get to them just because of how busy we were. But the corporate gyms tend to have that down to, you know, departments for those types of things to get addressed.
But just like every other gym, there's cons that we found to corporate gyms as well.
No doubt.
And some of that could be higher membership fees because you are getting, you know, all of these services. And most gyms have, you know, their levels of membership.
Yep.
So, you know, though some may be a little more cost effective, if you're looking for the, you know, easy access to multiple locations and all those extra amenities, the price may be a bit higher than other options out there.
And that's the things you want to look at. What are you getting for that dollar value? So if it is worth it to you to pay a couple more dollars because maybe you join a chain gym and there's one near your home and one near your office, that may be a real benefit for you on the days that your schedule allows you to hit it right after you get out of work, or you want to just shoot over there and avoid the traffic. But on the weekends, you may want to travel to the one closer to home. So those are the other benefits that you may see with that too.
But if you are looking for that personalized service, you know, that person that knows your name when you walk in the door, you don't always get that with a, you know, corporate gym.
Right.
You know, if you're going to the same location at the same time every day and you see that same staff member in the morning, you may get it. But it wouldn't be the same as a family-owned gym that knows not only you, but your family, what's going on in your life, you know, all those things that make it very personal. And there might be less access to, you know, individualized attention from trainers or, you know, other services that the gym provides as well.
And it's interesting, having talked to people that worked in both or managed both types of gyms, actually all three types of gyms, you know, I'd hear from people sometimes in the corporate gym. I know for the past few years I've been going, I'm always acknowledged at the desk as dude or sir. I don't think I've ever been called by my name.
Yeah, no.
The family-owned gyms, they know your name right away. And I've had people say to me, well, you know, they're a corporate gym, they have thousands of members. Well, they may have thousands of paying members. They don't have thousands of members that use the gym.
Right.
When you go to a gym for a period of time, at different times of the day, you start to recognize all of the same faces over and over. So it's a very small percentage of the overall membership that uses it consistently. So it's not that hard to personalize it. We've found that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, with these corporate gyms, you may get very heavy peak hour usage. So you may go in, you know, in that middle, like, morning, you know, the 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. right before work, or that, you know, 5 p.m. to like 7 p.m. where there is a lot of people in there. And you may not be able to get on every machine that you want to get on. We've had that happen too. There's been times that we show up and, you know, I get there a little earlier than I usually do. And I have to kind of rearrange my workout because somebody's on the machine I need and there's no substitution available because somebody's on that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the other negatives I've heard is that there's uniformity across the different locations, and it makes the experience feel like unoriginal, or, you know, there's no change or no difference. Sometimes people like that difference to change things up a little bit. You know, consistency is a benefit in a lot of ways, but it can also feel monotonous for some people. You know, it is, like we said, we go on vacation, sometimes we use a different gym. The first day or so, it's hard to get used to where everything is. But by the end of the week or the 2 weeks, we found that, hey, this is kind of different and we like the change in the atmosphere. Just gives you a break from what you have every day.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when you're dealing with a corporate owned gym, you know, there could be upselling, pushing of services. You know, you may get those, hey, try personal training. Hey, try personal training. Hey, did I mention I do personal training? You know, every time you go in and, hey, you didn't sign up for that free consultation yet, even though you've said three or four times, no, I'm not interested, I'm good.
That was so frustrating to me. That was the one really frustrating thing about the corporate gym, is when we started, I got that first email, hey, you may be interested in personal training, come in for your, you know, free evaluation, blah, blah, blah. So I responded back. It was an email and it was signed by the director of fitness. So I responded back and thanked them for the opportunity, but said, I've been working with a trainer. You know, I do natural bodybuilding. I'm very comfortable with where I'm at, but thanks for the offer. And then it was like, I don't know, several weeks later, it was like, hey, you know, you're eligible for a free analysis and evaluation, you know, schedule your point. And I responded again. And then finally I walked up to the director when I was in there one time and said, hey, can you just take me off your email list? I said, I'm just getting bombarded with these emails. I'm responding saying I'm not interested and I keep getting them. So you're right. The hope is they'll do it enough that you'll eventually say, let me try the free one and, you know, go on and, you know, try some personal training or something. So if it's something you want, I believe you'll go ask for it. If they're pushing it, you may feel compelled to do it sometimes. You know, not everybody wants to push back and just says, let me just do this and get it off my plate.
And there's additional fees. You know, when you sign up at these corporate gyms, there's the sign-in fee and then the annual fee, and all these fees kind of add up and you're like, what am I even what are these fees even for sometimes, you know? So you look at that base membership, and sometimes it might make more sense to do the next step membership because it's no annual fees, or, you know, this is excluded from it. So yeah, just really looking at all of the fees and not just the, hey, it's $9.99 a month, but then, oh, there's a $150 sign-up fee and then a $25.99 annual fee, or, you know, right, something like that.
And a lot of these fees, low price startup fees, are designed to get you to join knowing that, or, and hoping most times in these corporate gyms, that you'll never use it, and that the dollar amount is so minimal that you won't recognize or worry about canceling it, because you'll say, well, maybe I'll use it. And next thing you know, a year goes by or 2 years go by. And in all honesty, and I say this, I have two friends personally, both have been members at gyms for over 20 years, these corporate gyms, and haven't set foot in them more than, I would say, a handful of times from what they're telling me. But just for that reason, they're like, I just don't want to cancel because I know if I do, I'm going to want to go. And then I got to start over again and pay the startup fee and the annual fee. So just something to think about how you get caught in that loop.
And then when it comes to the training as well, I've noticed this in some of the corporate gyms, you know, you get these trainers and it's a very cookie cutter training.
Doubt.
You know, you watch and, you know, we're cognizant of different training styles and abilities. You know, we've seen it all coming from owning a gym and watching people train people within the gym, or, you know, things we've seen or experienced ourselves. And I've watched a trainer work with a 5 o'clock client and then a 6 o'clock client and then a 7 o'clock client. And it is the exact same workout.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, someone that's like Phil, who's a, you know, definitely older than me, you know, male, definitely a different body type. And then a female who's, you know, maybe 110 pounds soaking wet, and they, you know, are short and totally different body type, but they're having them do the exact same workout with the exact same weights and everything.
Very cookie cutter. And, you know, a lot of times that's all you see in these corporate gyms. And we've been watching that, and I've seen it with, from high school kids to seniors, the same exercises, you know, do this with the medicine ball, do that with the stability ball, come over here and, you know, do these push-ups. And it's the same thing. And then people get frustrated because it's not individually designed. A lot of times these are just basic programs to get you started, get you going, and they don't take it to the next level. And especially if you don't tell them you want to go to the next level, they'll just keep giving you more of the same for the same dollar. So it's something to pay attention to and think about in those situations. But you're right. In our gym, we were fortunate. Our trainers were all focused on their clients' needs, and you never saw the same two people doing the same thing. I'm not saying they don't use the same exercises with the people, but it wasn't routinely the same thing. If it crossed over that their particular programs or their goals had similar exercises that would get them there, sure, they would do that, but it wasn't the same routine.
Yeah, I mean, even looking at our workouts, we do a lot of the same exercises, but they're different. You know, your weight may be different, or, you know, the way you execute it. We both might do, you know, lat pull downs, but I might be doing the reverse grip and you might be doing a closed grip, you know.
Right, all
it's
depends.
Personalized to what we're doing for our goals, which, though are very similar, are also very different.
Right. It's not starting out with the slam ball 30 times the same way, and then, you know, the push-ups, you know, 20 of them the same way. It's very targeted. So just think about those things. But I think in all, when we're talking about corporate gyms, franchise gyms, the bottom line is they provide the convenience. They have extensive facilities and a wide range of amenities, which makes them an excellent choice for people who value that and need that flexibility and variety. But they do lack the personalized service. Sometimes they lack the community feel. It depends on the group and individualized attention that smaller family-owned gyms can provide.
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking at all of these gyms and kind of recapping everything, we've used them all, and I think for our goals at the times that we've used them, they've been great. You know, I've had great experiences at 24-hour gyms. I've had great experiences at family gyms and corporate-owned gyms. But for each of those, I had a different goal. I had something, you know,
right,
going on at that time that made that gym great for me. So though you may really like a 24-hour gym now and it works great for you, maybe in 2 to 3 years, that's not for you anymore and you want that family-owned gym, or, you know, the corporate gym, you know, testing out what works best for you, where you feel you fit, where you feel comfortable, that's what really matters. So these are a lot of great options, and you just have to find which one is best for you.
And remember, whether it's a 24-hour gym, a family gym, a corporate gym, I hear all the time, well, you know, this type of gym, the equipment's always broken. This type of gym, you know, it's family-owned. They can't afford to fix it, so it's been down for a week. The 24-hour gym, it's been down because nobody's been there to address it. Just remember, things happen in every gym everywhere, no matter what type it is. Equipment's going to break. Things are on back order. So that's why we say go in, try them out, see what your experiences are, see what your needs are, evaluate them fairly. Don't just trust everybody else's version, because what works for one person absolutely does not work for another. And then come up with what works best for you, because that's what's going to keep you motivated. That's what's going to keep you going. And if you're not sure, try some. You know, a lot of family gyms will offer a limited time membership. I know we used to offer a 3-month membership. Sometimes we had memberships for business travelers that might be in town for 2 weeks. We would give them a rate for those 2 weeks. So if that's something you want to try, then maybe try a corporate gym for a period of time. They run promotions, or try a 24-hour gym. Nowadays, it seems that the contracts are gone and everything is like month to month. You can just quit, where before you were locked into a contract for 6 months or a year or something. So give yourself some time to try out the different facilities and see what works best for you.
Yeah, and before we wrap up here, I just wanted to throw in a few announcements where you can find us. So if you want to watch our podcasts with video, you can check our YouTube at Team Crossin Podcast. We'll also be posting some of our, you know, bodybuilding experiences on there, some videos from that. So look out for that. You can go to our Facebook at Team Crossin Believing is Achieving, or our Instagram, which our handle is at Team Crossin LLC.
Thanks for listening and joining us, and we look forward to bringing you more soon.
See you soon.